Mr. Pullen, reel 10.
And we do our usual work all day long, such as, say you was able seaman, you'd have to do splicing, wire or rope, look, see? And you'd have to do, get told off for chipping the rusty parts of a ship and red lid in it. And then sometimes paint ship, get a stage it over the side. Every blue jacket go over there, you know, with a pot of paint and a brush. You paint, see, paint the ship. Then you had to paint the ship inboard as well, and it took a few days, you know. Then up aloft as well, mast and yards, all that would be painted. And that was no bad joke, you know, being up there with a pot of paint in a bucket, getting out on a yard arm, trying to paint. Sometimes the officer would look up with his telescope. If you happened to see an holiday, you had to go back out over there again and get on with it. And you was only standing on the foot ropes, you know, to do your work. Awful jobs, really. But there were some frightening jobs to do.
Such as?
Well, one time, I say, we were doing the Tradex stay. I had to blacken the Tradex stay from one mast to the other. And in between is the insulation blocks. You're in a bosun's stool, bosun's chair, and you're pulling yourself along that wire, blacken it all by, see, to preserve the wire, see? Then when you come to the insulation block, you have to lift yourself up over that and shackle yourself the other side of the insulation. And sometimes, you know, you couldn't do it. And you'd hang about there and you'd finish off trembling until you could get the shackle right.
Were there many accidents?
I never knew of anyone have an accident. The only accident that I knew of was getting the anchor, dropping the anchor. You should lift a capstan bar under the anchor. And one fellow got his jaw all smashed where the capstan bar hit him under the jaw. I only remember that one. That was in a ship called the Spartiate.
The what?
Spartiate.
Mm-hmm. What other frightening jobs or bad jobs were there?
Oh, I had many frightening jobs. That was one, the Tradex stay. Another was another frightening job. Was a lot of paint in the mashing yards. That was a bit frightening.
Why was that?
Well, because you had to hang on with one hand and paint with the other. And sometimes you get a bit weary with one hand. And if you let go of the two, you're down below. And I don't know, there were...
Any other jobs you didn't like?
Yes, there was many jobs that I didn't like doing. Oh, no, let us come and out to a ship called the Drake again. We're going under the Firth of Forth Bridge. Now we're going to strike topmast. We all fell in, and it's not too warm up at Scotland, is it? The commander shouts out to the Petty Officer White, in charge of my group. The Petty Officer White, get a good able seaman to go aloft for you. Strike topmast. Now we had to go up there, you know, and as that topmast was going down, all the blue jackets down below lowering it, see? There was me and Knocker White, this petty officer, just enough ground for us 2 feet to stand on after we pulled the fit out, see? And he said, I always remember him saying, don't let Skylark in here, Ted, see? And as that mast went down, there we was holding our both hands like that. And I think many a time in bed of a night time I've shouted and the wife have asked me what's wrong. I think it was the recoil, that's it. Then another time, previous to that, Admiral Scott had quarreled with Admiral Beresford. And Admiral Scott had the...
This was on the Caesar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Charlie Burford had the Caesar.
Yeah.
And this is what they call the own fleet now. And we were, and they had the 2nd Cruiser Squadron in that fleet, see. And Scott wanted to do gunnery on board. Scott was a great gunnery man, see. I'm not talking about the one who died at the North Pole, South Pole. And Beresford said, get that ship painted the proper colour, looks. He said, gunnery before paint, they call it a bit of a trouble. So the Drake now had to go on the same class as ship, had to relieve the Good Hope with Captain Scott in her, see? And when we joined there, we had to paint the ship the same colour as the Caesar was in the cruiser squadron. Might have been a bit lighter or a bit darker, see? And he said, put up a jury mast for the signals, you know. Now that jury mast was 60 feet long. And that had to go up there. And me and Knocker White, the petty officer, had the job to do it. Now I went up there with him. We secured the mast, all right. Now I come to the yard. This was only a thin yard, about not half the size of the ordinary yard, you know. And when I was passing this gooseneck, sitting on the end of the yard, Knocker moved, you know, let's see. There, I said, hang on, you let me down. What's the matter with you? He said, what are you worrying about, see? My word, look down there, you know, you were right up, see? Consequence was, I should say that was at least 100 feet in the air. And then all at once, when I was quite all right, I rigged that yard. Of course, he shouted to me, look, see? Now, that petty officer was a man that had done quite a lot of time in China. Now, let's talk about him, because he used to suffer what they call the dwelly tap. Some Sundays, we'd be all prepared, in my case, mate, for divisions in church, you know. And when we was at breakfast, he'd go up there and he'd... I had my clothes all ready to put on, white hat and everything, see? I find it all around the upper deck. I said, hey, Knocker, what's up? Oh, he said, I had this trouble come on, see? I had to collect up this clothes again, you know, see? Of course, we used to have a bit of fun with him at times. Such as... we'd get a tub of water in the casemate, and we'd all wash in it, you know, fresh water, see? Knocker would be out with all the men, and all the crew, you know, still scrubbing decks. After we'd had a wash, we used to throw that water overboard, throw the bucket over, and all up another bucket of salt water, see? Then Knocker would come in after, just before breakfast, have a wash, you know. Of course, the soap wouldn't lather not in salt water, see? More trouble. I was that trouble, I think. I had that trouble. Now, the queer thing about all that, although he was like that, he came on board the Glasgow in South America when the war was on, and it was on a Saturday before the Battle of Coronel. Hello, Ted, he says, you're getting on well in the Navy, see? I said, oh, yeah. He said, how long do you think this is going to last? He took his pension, see, he called up for the war. Oh, he says, it's going to last forever. He said, I give it 3 months. Within 24 hours, he's now lying at the bottom of the Pacific. Because his ship was sunk, see, a good old.
Let's go back to training again. You've told me about the sort of things you were trained in as a boy. Now, once you became an ordinary seaman, an able seaman, did you get any more training as such?
No, you had to. If you was an ordinary seaman, you still had to go to instructions of some sort. See?
What kinds?
Well, such as knowing how to point and graft your ropes, make them look tiddly. And to be able to make sennets for your blankets and hammock.
What were sennets?
Just rope, you know, done, twisted around, see. Axes, instead of having clothes pegs, you just have to secure it to the clothesline, numbers up and in boards, see. And at the end of our blankets, we had to sew a piece of extra stuff on and bore a hole in there, see. Put this bit of rope through for tying them up, instead of straining the blanket or the hammock, you see. But when you were the neighbor seaman, you know it was up to you to fight for your life to get along in the world, see. There was no more instructions. The only instructions you had now was doing physical drill. You had to always do physical drill, see. But then you could rub yourself up for learning for a bill from an ordinary seaman, be an able seaman. That would give you from 1 in 3 a day to 1 in another 4 months, 1 in 7 a day. Mm.
So once you were an AB, your training was finished.
Finished.
But you probably did some kind of specialised training, did you, like gunnery?
You had to be able now to be able to answer any question or be able to do any job that was put before you.
Yeah. Did you go to, after you became an AB, did you go to any of the naval training establishments to do any special training?
No.
What about Whale Island? You said
Whale Island, that was the gunnery school.
So you went through the gunnery school?
Went to the gunnery school, see.
When was that?
1916.
Oh, that was during the war.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
What was Whale Island like? That was a pretty tough place, wasn't it?
Oh, it was very strict. Strictest place in the world.
Tell me as much as you remember about Whale Island in 16.
Well, when I joined the school, you go over a bridge to get to it, see, the pond all around it, built by sailors in days gone by. And as soon as you enter it there, it said there, England expects every man to do his duty. Now, we train there officers of different countries, you know, Japanese, Americans, and all them. And in fact, the Duke of Kent, that was killed in an aeroplane, he was in my platoon there. And he was a platoon commander, and I was a platoon petty officer.
Yeah. You said Whale Island was a tough place.
Extremely tough
place. In what kinds of ways?
Well, every man had to salute each other. And you had a sort of a morale course to tear each other to pieces, show each other up.
Tell me a bit more about that. What was involved exactly?
Well, you see, as petty officers, you'd have fallen in for gunnery, you see. And I've known such a thing as this, see. One petty officer would get out in front, and he started giving detail for gunnery. See, number one, that was me. Wake up, one. The officer jumped in and said, how come you to let him sleep? You see, they were tearing each other. Then down on the parade ground, I was alongside the commander. When we were doing drill there, and I said at the time, it was my turn to give orders. You won't step off with a right quick march. And a petty officer named Joseph stepped off. See, so the commander sounded the bugler, still, see. He said you had the order, you wouldn't step off, and he stepped off, actually. So you see, all things like that was trying to find out what petty officers was worth in their troubles, you know. If you wasn't worth their salt, they'd get rid of you. It wasn't long you was there before they found out that you just deserved about 40 pounds of steam. Or to say, you know, discharge from the school. Because as soon as you got there, they've always said, it cost the Admiralty so many hundreds of pounds to train you. So you had to put every inch of your time in learning in gunnery.
Tell me about the gunnery training. When you were at Whale Island, what would the day's training consist of?
You used to fall in for prayers in the morning. One hymn, you used to sing one hymn. Then we used to fall out. Fall in different sections. And then all our oils used to dip the flag. And we all had to run to our different stations then. Ammunition, perhaps pistol, light gunnery, heavy gunnery, up to right out to the barbettes. So you see, you went right through the beginning from the rifle, from the pistol to the rifle, from the rifle to the 3-pounder gun, 3-pounder gun to the 12-pounder, and then to the 4-inch, 6-inch, 7.5, 12-inch. All that was in gunnery all the time. There was nothing else but gunnery, platoon drill and gunnery. Kept on with that. And we used to, after the war up there, we used to have to learn that bayonet fighting, what the Germans used to do.
Let's stick to Whale Island for a minute.
Yes, that's it.
When you were training on the larger guns, on the field guns, how were you trained? Did you have to do every sort of job, take turns in every job?
In gunnery?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you had to have the 12-pounder guns, you know. Had to go through all that business, like you see them doing at Earl's Court. You know, them wheels weighed hundredweights, you know. And that was that sort of business to do. Gunnery was gunnery up there. Nothing else but gunnery. You used to take the guns in your mess, really, talking about it. And every man there was, he'd lose his rating when he joined the gunnery school. You were all the same. So if you had a king alongside of you, he was just the same as you, I see.